Coming up, we'll begin a series we're calling Generation 9/11, Americans who were so young, either not born when 9/11 occurred, or they were so young that they're now coming of age post-September 11th. And we want to get the stories from you as well. What's the biggest effect that 9/11 has had on your life? Use the Takeaway iPhone app, record a picture, video, audio. Show us how 9/11 perhaps is still impacting you 10 years later. You can download that application on iTunes. Or if you don't have an iPhone, always call us with your story at 8778. My take. And now here's some of the headlines that we're following at 31 minutes after the hour. Leaders of the new Libyan government say they have evidence that China tried to sell Muammar Gaddafi weapons during his final weeks as Libya's leader. Documents discovered by a Canadian journalist reportedly show China was poised to sell $200 million worth of surface-to-air missiles and other weaponry through a third party. Those weapons could have been used to shoot down NATO aircraft. Meanwhile, negotiations for a peaceful surrender of Bin Walid, that's one of Muammar Gaddafi's last strongholds, have reportedly collapsed. The chief negotiator for the rebels say it's not clear what will happen next.
We hope that no bloodshed, especially when Gaddafi and his sons and his brigades move to these cities and keep them as hostage.
Thousands of rebel fighters are surrounding that city. The trial of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has resumed this morning. Four senior members of Mubarak's security force are the first witnesses to take the stand. They're expected to testify against President Mubarak and say that he ordered a crackdown on protesters during the uprising against him. Here in the U.S., Tropical Storm Lee has been downgraded to a tropical depression, but forecasters say the slow-moving storm still poses a flooding threat to inland areas. And at least 40,000 people still don't have power a week after Hurricane Irene. Yesterday, President Obama visited Paterson, New Jersey. That city saw its worst flooding in more than a century. Utah's experiment with a four-day work week for state workers is now over. Lawmakers say it didn't save as much money as they'd hoped. In the markets, Asian and European markets are down, and Wall Street is, of course, closed for the Labor Day holiday. We want to hear what you have to say. Reach us by phone, by email, or at facebook.com/thetakeaway. As I mentioned, we begin our series Generation 9/11 today in honor of the 10th anniversary of September 11th. This week, we'll be talking with and about young people who've come of age since those attacks. And we want to hear from the young people themselves. It'd be a good place to start. Jillian Suarez was 8 years old on September 11th in 2001. Her father was a New York City police officer. He went to work that day and didn't come home. Now she's 18 years old, and Jillian still has trouble speaking about her loss. Jillian pushed through her silence, though, to tell us this story. It's for Radio Rookies, which comes from our co-producer, WNYC.
Mom, can you tell me the story of what happened on 9/11?
Starting from when I woke up. Okay. I remember waking up almost at 4 in the morning and seeing your daddy leave. I saw the back of his head as he was leaving. And then I went back to sleep.
This is a story I never even wanted to tell. So wait, you're probably wondering, why am I telling a bunch of strangers? I just want to be done with it. Just let it out. Listen, I lost my best friend 2 days after my birthday. My dad. I'll tell you the story, but I want to tell it without tears. Were you scared to tell me the truth?
Yes. I couldn't tell you the truth at that moment because I was not going to lose hope about your daddy being gone, and he was a very strong man, so I knew he had to stay alive, and I didn't want to hear anything negative from anybody. So they kept searching and searching and searching, and 3 months passed by, and then that's when they told me that they had found them, and then that morning I had to tell you that they found Daddy. And I remember that you smiled and I told you it wasn't good. And then I just remember one tear coming down out of your eyes. And you want to take a break?
What bothers you the most?
That I didn't get to say goodbye to him. and that he's not here to see you grow up. Okay? Next.
How do you feel about me not talking about 9/11?
I think you should talk about it. Do you feel that it's important to talk about your feelings and 9/11? I'm asking you that question.
I don't know.
Why? You don't know.
I don't know.
Don't you want to talk about it?
I don't know. This is my first time talking about it. I'm not comfortable. I don't know why. I'm just not comfortable. I actually get mad when someone tries to talk to me. I'd rather just hang out with my friends, walk around in the city, shopping, movies, going out to eat, dancing. You get the idea. I don't think anyone would really get it, what it means to lose your dad in a terrorist attack. And then to be reminded of it every 5 seconds, especially the news, pretty much every year, I get so annoyed. Nobody in my family besides my mom ever wants to talk about life after him.
Hey, Tiff.
Like my cousin Tiffany.
Tiff. Tiff?
I need to ask you something. Please?
I'm not doing this.
You have to.
Why?
See?
Because it's about Daddy.
Oh, no, I don't know what to say.
Everyone has always said, I'm here for you, stay strong, I'm here if you want to talk, blah, blah, blah. The usual condolences. And I usually just say, yeah, I know, it sucks. Sometimes I smile and say thank you. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the sympathies, but I just want to be left alone.
Why? It's okay to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Because it bothers you a lot? It hurts you a lot?
Yes.
Do you feel, which I know this is how I feel, a sense of emptiness?
Yeah.
Yes. Because we're not complete anymore.
The worst is during November till January. That's when I shut down. Not having him around for the holidays really brings me down. I also sleep so much more. And when it comes to finals, I barely pass because all I do is sleep instead of studying. Sometimes I think I need to talk to someone professional. But I'm not ready.
If you don't talk about it, you can't keep healing.
I'll heal within time.
Talking about it is part of the healing process.
But it takes time.
And yes, it does. And so far, it's already 10 years. And I know 10 years still feels like 1 year. Because it's always going to feel like 1 year.
I don't think people understand that you need to be ready to do certain things. One day, I'll talk more. Just not right now. Telling you my story is enough. So I did it. I told you and I didn't cry. Well, in front of you.
That's Jillian Suarez. Radio Rookies has its own series on Generation 9/11 that's airing through this Friday with our co-producer WNYC. If you want to be like Jillian, report your own story of remembering 9/11, you can use the Takeaway iPhone app and send it to us. You can use the audio recorder, interview a loved one, as she did, and yourself talking about that day. You can take a picture, show us where you were at the time, capture video of how 9/11 changed your life, perhaps. We're curating the sights and sounds of life after 9/11, 10 years after. So use the Takeaway iPhone app. It's available at iTunes, or upload what you have without an iPhone app. You can do that by heading over to thetakeaway.org. And while you're at the website, you can check out an amazing collection of interviews, music, sound pieces, slideshows, videos, all collected by WNYC as we remember Generation 9/11.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.